From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 15th day of January 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. As we close out our time, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And in between, we'll check in on the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton from the Powerline Group. We do that once a month. And we'll discuss nitrogen applications with Emerson Nafziger. He's here in Freeport with me in northwestern Illinois on this Tuesday afternoon, discussing agronomy with farmers in the area and what nitrogen application should and can look like, and more importantly, the calculator that's available online. It's called MRTN. You can just search for in-rate calculator. We'll hear more about that as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Do listen to us online on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We're talking about 25, 30 minutes before the close of the marketplace. Kind of an ugly day in Chicago today, Wayne. What happened in this market that pushed it lower?
Well, there's three or four things that happened, Todd. It came out that the African swine flu has probably killed over a million head of hogs in China. Then we turned around and we saw the processor bids on beans dropping today, sort of taking a little wind out of the cash market there. We went up and we went against some resistance levels. The March beans got up to 908, and they rejected that and sold off. And right now we're trading 8.93, down 10.5 cents on the day, and the March corn broke below the 3.77 support. So that, and then some talks out of Washington that Trade Representative Lighthizer has told Senator Grassley that he didn't think any progress was made in the talks. That all being negative things, but there is a little talk about possibility of a $50 billion U.S. ag products purchase over the next 2 years by China that might come to fruition in the talks here at the end of the month. So a lot of bad news and a little bit of good news.
Yeah, a lot of whipsaw action. We talked about this some last night in Albion. Thanks you, by the way, for making that trip down south with me, you and Kurt and Todd Hubbs. That was a good meeting, but we had a whole lot of discussions about the trade negotiations, trade in general, and what it really means to the economy. And there's just a lot happening, and agriculture's bearing the brunt of it because, we're the primary export from the United States, I suppose.
Yeah, you know what we're really fighting about really doesn't have a lot to do with agriculture, but they're coming back at us in the agriculture because that's one place that they can really hurt a group of people in the U.S. and also a very strong supportive group towards President Trump, and who's trying to hold their feet to the fire for their intellectual property thefts. So, unfortunately, we got caught on the wrong side of this fight.
Yeah, this might take some time to settle, and we'll see how that March 1 deadline comes and what happens. Although we have another set of meetings, as you suggested, at the end of this month, so there may be more good news or more news, good or bad, I suppose.
And it just keeps good.
Yeah, and it just keeps coming. So should farmers have to take advantage of some of the volatility at some point? The volatility at this time is to the downside. When they get those bumps up, is there a top of the range that you think old and new crop for corn and soybeans that needs to be taken advantage of?
Well, we talked last night at the meeting about how we should maybe be looking at doing some puts for the bottoms and selling some options above it. And I think that that's sort of what we're still sort of looking at. You know, we sort of like to get back to where we were at least in the, around the 380 or above in the March corn, but we're down at 72.25 here now. But back up in there where we might, sell a little bit and go on. As far as the Dease corn, we like the $4 level. We'd a lot rather have 4.10 to 4.15, but I think anything over 4.04 is probably, if you haven't sold anything, a place to sell there. And then, you know, and then you can buy the 20-cent dip on the downside that way along the way. And with the beans, we really like, we'd really like a little above that, but over 950 before we do, to sell some if we can, and buying down in probably that 920 range. So, you know, that's sort of what we're looking at for our ranges for right now, anyhow, and try to move a little bit before and hope that we can negotiate that trade for $50 billion here come the end of the month.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. We're here in Freeport, Illinois at the Northwest Agriculture Summit put on by University of Illinois Extension, and Emerson Nafziger has been talking about nitrogen application on corn. The MRTN, which is a calculator that can be found online or that you can download for your phone, whether that's an Android or an iOS device, an Apple device, either one, to help make sure that you're putting on the optimum amount of nitrogen. Can you define that first for me, please?
Well, one thing about the optimum is we know it after the fact. We very seldom know it before the fact. And so what we've done because of that, and when you look at the data, it's just stunning. You know, we can see rates of 100 pounds producing 250 bushel yields, and sometimes it takes 250 pounds to produce a 250 bushel yield. So, and sometimes it takes 200 pounds to produce 130 bushel yield. So it's all over the map, and the old formula that we used to use, that is high yields, you know, if you expect a yield of 180, then you should put on 200 pounds of nitrogen. Those don't work very well anymore. We think it's because hybrids today are so much better at extracting nitrogen and water and everything else that's in the soil, that the soil-supplied nitrogen is important to this crop, and that we need to do trials so that we have an idea, at least accumulated over years and trials, hundreds of trials if we can get them, to say this is where we think we ought to start our nitrogen for the next year. And so this winter we have the job of updating the calculator with new numbers, response numbers from this last year. We'll take out some of the older ones as well. And the thing I like about the calculator is not that it, you know, gives you the precise amount, but they're reasonable, moderate rates that it's telling us that this crop needs, almost regardless of what it's going to yield. And so for Northern Illinois today, if we ran the calculator and 2018 showed a little higher need for nitrogen than some of the previous years had shown, but we're going to see, you know, 170, give or take, pounds of nitrogen for corn-following soybean and probably about 210 for corn-following corn. Those are pretty well in line with what, you know, many people are sort of, if you centered what everybody's doing. Our goal is modest on this. We're trying to clearly show that, you know, 280 to 300 pounds of nitrogen is just more than this crop is going to need. And when we put on more than the crop needs, we have some left over and it's going to get to the tile line at some point.
And again, you said you'll be updating those numbers this year with the most latest information from the data sets that came in 2018. You also drop off some at the end.
Yes.
That'll make it more precise for the actual corn numbers that producers are putting in the ground.
Exactly. And I was just looking at some of our data from back in the early 2000s, and nitrogen rates aren't terribly different today than they were there, but yield levels are higher. And we've already dropped some of that off, and over time we're going to continue that. We have enough, and it's important to look beyond just what happened last year and now, because I think we needed more nitrogen, let's all put more on. Nitrogen is one of those things where a reasonable approach does not say put on as much as you think you could possibly need, because there's safety in that. You won't have to worry about being short. Our crop is not very short of nitrogen in very many fields when people are using moderate rates. And by moderate, I mean you know, 180 pounds plus or minus for corn falling soybean. But yes, dropping off some of the older numbers, adding the new numbers. But because we have this database, and our Illinois one is one we're proud of, it's much bigger than for any other state, we don't see these numbers just jumping all over the place. You know, they're not going to go up 10 or 20 pounds from one year to the next if we're doing our job right, because we've got enough data in there, and we think more years and more sites makes a better prediction rather than say, well, we ran three trials and now we need 225 pounds of nitrogen. We could select three of our trials that would tell us that, but that's not looking at it in a neutral way, and we need to really be neutral about this.
One final note about the MRTN, and producers probably will be thinking about this a lot. It does give an optimum rate of application for nitrogen for spring applied. It also, because there were many that did not get fall applied anhydrous on, and they'll have to apply it in the spring, and it also adjusts for the cost of nitrogen, and that's expected to go up $11 to $13 an acre, and that'll be important as that optimum rate is calculated this spring as well.
I'd encourage people to go online and look at the calculator and just put in some different prices of nitrogen and maybe of corn, if we can be optimistic. It's going back to $4 maybe. But if you put those in, you'll see it's not, you know, when you raise the price of anhydrous $100, you change the nitrogen rate maybe 6 or 7 pounds. You drop it, because the more expensive nitrogen is compared to corn, the less this tells you you ought to use, because nitrogen, we hope the last pound of nitrogen pays its way, producing that extra corn it takes to pay for it. That's what we're looking at with the optimum. But yes, nitrogen rate increases. We have a fair amount of data in from fall application, so it's not all spring application. We typically don't find much difference between spring and fall in terms of how much nitrogen the crop needs, fertilizer the crop needs. So, yeah, it's certainly something to keep in mind. And I know a lot of people are nervous going into the spring. Are we going to find that time when we can get the nitrogen on? Getting the nitrogen on in the spring, we don't think has ever hurt our yields very much, but it certainly takes some extra effort and extra hours to get it done. And we would really caution people about going out there when it's really too wet to go out there and putting nitrogen on just to get it done. You know, we always find a way, and we'll find a way again, but we have enough forms and ways to put nitrogen on today that we can find an acceptable way to get it on, even if we would prefer that by the 1st of April we'll have all the anhydrous put on we need for this next year.
Thanks so much, Emerson.
Sure.
Emerson Nafziger is an extension agronomist, retired from the University of Illinois. Joins us here at the Northwest Illinois Ag Summit in Freeport. We're joined now by Jared Sauer. He's one of the folks that are set up in the booth space around this U of I Extension function today. And he's with Kapir Financial, and he's a loan officer there. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Production loans are going to be coming up pretty soon, but I take it you're getting financials in order for most of the farmers in the area.
Yes, we've just started to receive the financials in, mainly the balance sheets, as the tax returns are not completed yet. We're seeing a wide range, a lot of it depending on yield and the marketing they completed this past year.
So without the aid from the FMP, the administration's package, the compensated for losses in trade due to the Chinese trade negotiations, what would in this area the financials look like?
I think overall they'll be pretty good. Most people had a good yield. We did have some difficulties with tar spot affecting the yields, but overall we had generally pretty good yields in the area, so that helps cover the costs that are associated with the expense of growing the crop.
How many of the producers in this area take crop insurance? I'm going to suggest that it's really quite high, and do they do it at a very high level?
In general, I would think 95% of our producers in the area do take the crop insurance. Most are probably at least 75%, with a lot of them 80 or 85%.
Does this help you in the process when you're going through making the production loans to make sure that those are secured and to help them put forth a marketing plan for the year?
It definitely does, because it gives them some security that if we have a 2012 where their production is substantially lower, that they will have some coverage to help them fulfill a contract if needed. But it gives them the ability to forward contract to capture the prices when they do come up a little bit.
When Compeer talks about internally about the stability of farmers in this part of the world throughout their service area, which includes Illinois, parts of Minnesota, and a few other places, are they very worried about the 2019 and 2020 seasons?
Well, I think it varies by area. Some areas had more difficulties growing their crop than we did here in northwest Illinois. So that would, with the current prices, that makes it more difficult to cash flow. As I said earlier, we are fortunate with higher yields here in northwest Illinois. Some of the livestock areas are experiencing more difficulties with the lower prices. The new farm bill has offered a few things to the dairy farmers that hopefully will help stabilize that area as well.
Hey, thanks so much, Jared.
Oh, you're welcome.
Jared Sauer is with Compeer Financial, and he joins us here in Freeport. Dave Chatterton of the Powerline Group there in Champaign now joins us to talk about the agricultural energies. He does that once a month. Dave, thanks so much. What's changed since the last time we talked in this sector?
You know, Todd, it's kind of funny. We've had a lot going on in the energy complex here, but since the last time we talked, prices are actually very close to where they were when we spoke then. We've had the big Christmas holiday, New Year blow off to the downside and made some rather significant lows here in this oil complex, both for crude oil and the refined fuel products. And then we've worked our way back up here just a little bit. So we're continuing to watch things develop with the global economy and the macro scene, but in particular the actions of OPEC. And of course, they've got some cuts here that got started the first of the year, and it looks like they have, at least for now, put a floor underneath the markets, and that those lows from the end of the year will hold. Where we find ourselves today, you know, crude oil prices got down to around $42 on the low. They're now at around $52. And diesel fuel, we're about 20 cents off of the lows that we saw during that period, but we're still, you know, at a roughly a 187 or a 188 futures value. Those numbers were 245 back in October, so still relatively an attractive price, and we've seen that translate into propane and some of the other fuels here as well.
Are you suggesting the producers who have not yet taken advantage of these prices start to lock them in for the needs in the 2019 growing season?
Certainly for diesel fuel, we think it's a good idea to have at least probably half of your needs spoken for here. There, you know, we can't rule out additional downside and what's going to happen in the future, but if you just look at the overall movement of the market and where stocks are, we're in a much better position than we were, but we still have demand that's pretty healthy out here, so it makes sense to us to have some of those needs locked up. Propane, probably a little bit more stingy there. We're not afraid to have some of our, you know, 2019 irrigation and or drying needs spoken for, but also not in a big hurry to get out in front of that market at this particular point.
When OPEC and Russia last met, they agreed to cut production by 1.2 million barrels a day. The Saudis are complaining, or at least have out loud at some point in the last week, that the Russians haven't complied just yet. Do you expect that they'll come into compliance and that we'll have a bit of a bump in the price of crude oil?
Yeah, I do, Todd. I don't know that it's a market that's going straight up. I think it will be more of we see it as more of a two steps forward, one step back kind of a process. But Saudi has been jawboning Russia and the other OPEC members. Russia did come in this week and say that they've started their cuts, that it'll be a slower process for them. That's kind of their typical operating method, or typically the way they approach things. So we believe they will come in line here. It won't be quite as quick as the action that we've seen from Saudi Arabia and some of the other OPEC members.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me for the day.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thank you.
And that, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group out of Champaign. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in the northwestern part of the state of Illinois in Freeport at the U of I Extension Illinois Agronomy Summit. We're now joined by Don Day. He's traveling somewhere across Wyoming or Nebraska at this point and heading to what I think is probably a winter meeting. Where are you headed to, Don?
I'm heading towards Chadron, Nebraska for a cattlemen's conference.
Oh, and where is Chadron?
So it is between Rapid City and Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
All right, good enough. I suspect you're driving through snow. I drove through snow. And looks like by the weekend there'll be a whole lot more snow that the cattle producers in particular will be interested in because that gives them a tough time during the winter months. Can you tell me about the forecast for this weekend?
Yeah, and you are correct. There is more snow coming into the Northern Plains states and the Midwest. This will be the second weekend in a row a major winter storm will come through. This isn't as big as the last one, but Todd, this is a trend towards colder, more snowy weather that's evolving for the central United States. It's going to keep on going for a while. This is the change in the weather pattern we talked about last week that was looking colder and more active. So a snow event this weekend, we're going to see single digit to zero temperatures behind it. And then next week, we've got more opportunities for snow moving across the Midwest and also into the Great Lakes.
Given all of that, how much snowfall this time around, and do they come every week or so after that, in your opinion?
Snowfall amounts with this system are probably going to be in the, let's say, 3 to 8 inch range, so not as heavy as the last one. But it looks like about every 3 to 4 days, some type of system's going to come through. So the spacing between the systems actually will increase a little bit, and they're going to become more frequent. Stock growers and folks with travel plans, the nation's midsection is going to have the worst part of winter developing here in the coming weeks.
If we were in the spring or summer, would we call these the clipper-type systems, meaning they come fast and they don't drop a lot, or do they move much slower and drop a whole bunch of precipitation in snowfall?
Yeah, no, this is definitely a more of a clipper situation, and since the air is going to be coming out of Canada, the atmosphere is not really moist. So the amounts of snow are going to be about 3 to 8 inches. As you go further south, we are looking at the snow probably being a little bit heavier where there's more moisture from the Gulf. But these are clipper systems which don't have a lot of moisture with them because the air is coming out of south central Canada. So the snowfall tends to be the drier snowfall, the water content not as quite as moist as you would get with a storm earlier in the season.
Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thanks, Todd.
Have fun at your meeting. That's Don Day, of course. He is with Day Weather and driving across the great state of Nebraska. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.